Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
The holidays are upon us, so of course we're talking about the science of a couple of our favorite holiday entities. We have an episode about Scrooge, and this episode is about the Grinch.
That's right. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Is everybody familiar with that song?
They should be. This is another one that I feel like I watched and read it so many times as a child, and then, you know, and then it's just all over pop culture, and then they made that movie, the less that's said about the better, but still people are, that movie is old enough now that people are nostalgic about it. That's worth noting. Like that, yeah. That film's like over a decade old now, the Jim Carrey. But for me, it was always the old animated version that had Boris Karloff in it, and the book itself by the good Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas is a great literary classic. In the song, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, performed by Thurl Ravenscroft.
Yeah, not Boris Karloff. Some people make a mistake. Boris Karloff did the voice of the Grinch, but not the singing voice.
And in fact, Thurl Ravenscroft also did the voice for Tony the Tiger. But we bring it all up because this is just great fodder. Yes, great fodder. To deconstruct the Grinch. That's our aim today, to find out what makes him tick mentally and physically, and also find out why he's so obsessed with stopping Christmas from coming to Whoville.
Indeed. You know, the basic scenario is, it's very much like Scrooge in a sense, you know, the curmudgeonly old, critter who learns the true meaning of Christmas and has a big change of heart. You know, it's a redemption story and all that.
But in the meantime, can't be bothered with all those do-goods and merrymakers.
Right, and just can't stand the sound of them, can't stand the idea that they are down there, and decides, well, I'm just going to steal their Christmas. I'll take it away. I'll go down there. I'll dress as Santa Claus. I'll take everything out of their houses, their presents, their food, the decorations on the walls. Like, he just completely ravages their culture. That's his thing. And then he's going to destroy it all.
Right.
But then something happens.
He has an epiphany. And we'll get to that. This is another character that we're like, how did he get to that epiphany? First, though, let's take a look at what the Grinch looks like. I mean, with his actual physical characteristics, as we're talking about a green fur-clad primate.
Yeah, yeah, some sort of bipedal critter. Now, I do have questions about his primate status, because the world that we encounter in The Grinch, the Who Dustbeck, is filled with some creatures that are just straight out of our world. There's mm-hmm. a dog, you know, there are mice. But then you have the primary residents seem to be the Whos, who have who are bipeds as well, but they have antenna.
Mm-hmm.
The Grinch doesn't have antenna, but I will note that he has very animated eyebrows and these two kind of horns of hair, which leads me to believe that they might be antenna. They're simply covered in hair. That's just a little loose theory.
That's true. It's hard to tell. I saw that little mop. I kept staring at that little mop, trying to figure out what could it be.
In the animated version, there's that great scene where he gets the idea. And he smiles, and it's the most devious smile ever brought to the moving picture.
Now, from the Whoville Wikipedia, it states that the Grinch is known to be of a different species than the Whos, being stated as a what? And moreover, in the story, the Grinch is described as being as strong as 10 Grinches plus 2, implying that perhaps a Grinch is its own species.
Hmm. But the Whos call him a what?
How very
alienating of them to do that. To a who, it's who. It's tied up with your identity, right? In a what? That's very dehumanizing.
Well, keep a handle on that.
Because
I feel like this will become important discussion fodder for when we talk about epiphanies. Now, the Grinch's constitution, as we all know, super grumpy. Antisocial.
Yes.
Neurotic.
Yes.
Aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Depressive, you could even say. Vindictive,
mm-hmm.
and possibly even fulfilling a neurotic need for power by exploiting his companion, Max the dog.
The relationship between the Grinch and Max is perhaps a little borderline abusive at times, but he's it's a service animal. That's his approach.
Service animal. Yeah, I don't see anything on there that says do not pet.
Well, it's implied, you know, the horn on the head, uh-huh. his positioning in the front of the sleigh. Like, clearly, the Grinch sees this as an animal that aids him in his endeavors.
He makes a great foil, Max does. Now, the image of the Grinch in that cave on a mountaintop really brings to mind a Yeti. Or better yet, another creature. And I'm talking about, from the epic tale Beowulf, Grendel.
Yes, this is something I just keep thinking about this Christmas season. I never thought of it before, but it comes up every now and then. We're not the first people to talk about Grendel and Grinch as very similar entities, because you have one that's a cave-dwelling monster that haunts the Danish moors, and the other lives within the microcosm of the Who Dustbeck. One tale ends in bloodshed.
Mm-hmm.
The other in Christmas cheer, but both stories concern a lone outsider. To quote the words of author John Gardner, who wrote the book Grendel, which is the story of Beowulf and Grendel from Grendel's perspective, the creature is, quote, a shadow shooter, an earthrim roamer, a walker of the world's weird wall, a perpetual outsider that's barely even a part of the world of man, or in this case, the world of the Whos.
Yeah, there's a sense of suffering there. And according to Courtney Shea, writing for Humanities 360, she says the first and most apparent similarity between Grendel and the Grinch are their names. Both begin with the sound grin. The online etymology dictionary states that the Old English word grinnian means to show the teeth in pain or anger. And in Old Norse, the word krynja means to howl.
Indeed. In both cases, the creature is just really irritated by the noise. And the Grinch, you know, sort of saying the noise. And in Beowulf, it is written, then the mighty war spirit endured for a season, bore it bitterly, he who bided in darkness, that lighthearted laughter loud in the building greeted him daily. There was dulcet harp music, clear song of the singer. And so Grendel sets out to attack the mead hall of Herod. And it's important to note that the mead hall here is the center of Danish culture. Like, he's striking at the heart of the Danes.
Mm-hmm.
He's striking at their merriment. He's striking at the glue that holds them together through the dark winter, right? And the Grinch is doing much the same thing. He is striking at their Christmas. He is striking at their central belief and their central, the very heart of their culture.
Yes, there's the merriment, right? There's the feasting. And when he attacks them, Grendel, they are asleep from their feasting, not unlike the Hoos who lay a snooze.
Exactly. But it had Cindy Lou Dane woken up and wandered into the meat hall, she would have met with a very different fate.
I was going to say she would just be gulped down. There would be no discussion.
Oh, yes. Yeah, torn apart.
Now, the biggest difference, of course, is that Grendel's vengeance and hatred makes him incapable of connecting with anyone else, right? He's got different motivations, too.
Yeah, and some mother issues, I think, too.
Don't we all?
Yeah, and also, Beowulf is a bit of a jerk.
Well.
Yeah, so it's not like the Danes are not doing a great job of reaching out to Grendel.
Right, and so he's not going to have that epiphany like the Grinch.
Right.
Yeah, but nonetheless, there are so many similarities between the two, you can't help but mention them.
Indeed, yes, and I would love to see some sort of adaptation that combines these two in a more festive manner. All right, we're going to take a quick break on that note. And when we come back, we're going to discuss the physiology of the Grinch, because we know at least one crucial thing about it.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
All right, we're back.
We're back. And one of the distinguishing physiological features of the Grinch is, of course, that his heart is two sizes too small.
Yes. And this seems to be both a physical and figurative situation for the most part, from what we can tell. We have the little x-ray that comes into frame and shows you that the heart is literally too small. And also his love for his fellow creatures seems to be somewhat lacking as well.
Indeed. So we look to the human world to try to explain some of the reasons why this may be so, at least on the physical level.
Yeah. Now, I do want to say one quick thing about why it is definitely a problem, because the Grinch is living at a very high altitude, right? And so he's living in a low oxygen environment. So if his species, if you will, truly evolved to thrive at high altitudes, mm-hmm. then that species would boast slower development, delayed maturity, greater lung volume, and a larger heart. As pointed out in the book Essentials of Physical Anthropology, we find all four of these attributes in lifelong high-altitude human residents. So his heart is too small for his environment.
Well, especially if you consider that the Grinch and the Whos evolve convergently with one another, it's possible that the Grinch has a heart that is really better adapted to higher levels of oxygen, which we'd find on the ground, right?
Right.
So it's hard to tell where this is coming from. It could be maybe the Grinch is actually at lower levels of altitude, but now, as an outsider, has decided to live on this mountaintop, and
he's
therefore
been pushed out by the Whos.
Yes, he's been excommunicated by the Whos, mm-hmm. and now here he is with his heart two sizes too small to deal with the lack of oxygen, the high altitudes.
Okay, I like this theory, and it plays into some other arguments I'm going to make later in the podcast concerning the origins of the Grinch. But another idea, maybe that's not a Grinch heart in his chest.
Oh,
maybe
yeah?
It is a Who heart. because indeed, when it comes to human heart transplantation, undersized replacements are certainly an issue of concern. Because when it comes to heart availability, mm-hmm. you're not always able to match up everything perfectly. You know, you're matching across genders, ultimately across different people. So sometimes the heart is a bit smaller than it would ideally be for that chest cavity.
Yeah. And what you're describing is actually called the Grinch syndrome. In some cases, it is, a postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And
it sounds like one of the things the Whos gets on Christmas morning, one of the instruments.
It is, yeah. Actually. Most patients have a heart that is indeed two sizes too small, and this affects about 500,000 Americans, primarily young women. So, again, this is something that is really taken into consideration when you are looking at donors.
So if this were the case, you could imagine that in all that junk up there in the mountain, on the top of Mount Crumpet, perhaps the Grinch has some sort of automated surgical theater that performed this procedure once upon a time.
And why not? I mean, he has a sewing machine.
It's true. It's true. Perhaps Max has a skill set that we were just not privy to in the book or in the film. Or perhaps the Whos did it themselves before they shunned him and pushed him up to the top of a mountain.
In any case, you put someone up there with a heart that's much too small for that altitude, you're going to get some dizziness. You're going to get some very unclear thinking. You're going to get a lot of crabbiness.
Yeah, it's going to definitely, I think, contribute to his ill demeanor.
Indeed. Now, not a lot is known about his actual ears. Perhaps they're situated underneath all of that fur mm-hmm. that's cladding his body. But it could be that he's just highly sensitive to noise, and we know that the human ear canal actually amplifies noises in the range of 2,000 to 5,000 hertz. So that's why things like knives scraping plates or nails on a chalkboard are mm-hmm. so terrible sounding, because they inhabit that range and they kind of ricochet around in the ear canal. So could it be that all that merriment, all of that singing is occupying that same space?
It could be. It's hitting the sweet spot for him, or the sour spot, as it were.
Well, the noise, noise, noise. That's the one thing he hated.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's ultimately, that's what makes him decide, hey, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to cut this noise out. All those fancy bells and whistles they get Christmas morning, I'm going to take care of that. And that singing they do, there's going to be no cause for that either because I'm stealing everything.
That's right, because when I am perched atop my mountain, particularly on the edge, and I'm really like leaning down to hear,
mm-hmm.
I know that sound is reflecting off of really hard surfaces like rock, water, or ice.
Right.
And I'm that Grinch and I'm mad about this. And that's to say nothing about what's going on inside that cave.
Indeed, if you think of the ear canal as amplifying sound, essentially the cave that the Grinch is in is another ear canal.
It is. I mean, because if you look at it, there's hard surfaces that are surrounding the Grinch, perfect for amplifying sound, since any noise that would appear to enter the cave or that was made inside of it would bounce off the cave walls and then would be picked up by the ears. And in this sense, there's a twin to each noise, a kind of shadow noise.
And this gets into a really interesting area of research called archaeoacoustics. One of the main guys behind all of this is U.S. researcher Stephen Waller, and he's looked extensively at Lascaux caves in France. These are, you know, ancient caves, mm-hmm. cave art on the sides, you know, animals, that kind of thing. And he believes that the echoes of ritual clapping outside of those caves would have sounded like hundreds of hooves drumming on the ground. So he thinks mm-hmm. that the design of the caves, the positioning of the art, all of that is orchestrated with the sound amplification in mind.
Yeah, these kind of sound illusions that come from it. And we were talking earlier, you think that perhaps the hooves might be behind this, yes?
Yeah, it does make me think that. Weller pointed out, quote, ancient mythology explains echoes from the mouths of caves as replies from spirits. So our ancestors may have made cave paintings in response to these echoes and their belief that echo spirits inhabited rocky places such as caves or canyons. So taking this, thinking about the Grinch as a creature that has been shunned and even placed there by the Whos,
mm-hmm.
perhaps they also created this cave so that whoever's occupying that cave, whoever is the Grinch,
mm-hmm.
will steadily be driven mad by the amplified sounds of merriment far below. I'll talk more about this as we progress, but it's all part of my theory that the Grinch has an important, crucial even, role to play, annual role to play in the culture of the Whos.
Well, and in this sense, he's kind of like the Krampus, the anti-Claus, right? So we'll talk about this a little bit more in the Epiphanies discussion. But what I think is interesting is here he is sequestered away, completely isolated. Perhaps mm-hmm. He is experiencing these sound illusions and going a little bit mad from it. Now, the isolation aspect of this, I think, is a really big deal. We should take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about Grinch on his lonely mountaintop.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left, look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
All right, we're back. So there's the Grinch up in his cave, up on Mount Crumpet, far, far, far from the Who civilization down below. It would seem that he is in, you know, he would be in a very splendid area of isolation, that he would be far from any of the sounds that might bother him.
No, not at all. We tend to think that. We talked about this in our episode, Splendid Isolation, this idea that if you could just get some quiet and isolation, and maybe you could even live like 1 year completely isolated, that you could finally sort of unwind and let you the flowers of your brain bloom. But no, what happens is that those flowers get all sort of choked together and die off because you're not having those sort of connections with people and associations that you need, that your brain craves.
Yeah, I mean, you end up talking to a dog dressing like Santa Claus and breaking into houses.
Indeed. According to researcher John Cacioppo at the University of Chicago, 20% of all people are unhappy because of social isolation at any given moment. So he wanted to know, hey, what's going on in the minds of these folks who are isolated and they're unhappy? And he recruited volunteers to look at some photos while undergoing fMRI. Now, this has such an interesting twist to it. Some of the participants had been identified as having an acute sense of social isolation, and some were just, you know, healthy volunteers that they had screened. Now, both groups viewed a series of images, some with positive connotations, like a happy couple doing fun, happy things, and others with negative associations, such as scenes of human conflict. Now, when the two groups watched pleasant imagery, the area of the brain that recognizes rewards showed a significantly greater response in non-lonely people than in lonely people. Similarly, the visual cortex of lonely subjects responded much more strongly to unpleasant images of people than to unpleasant images of objects. This suggests that the attention of lonely people may be especially drawn to human conflict. And that what's interesting about this is that the non-lonely subjects showed no difference here. So it was the lonely subjects who were particularly taken with these scenes of conflict.
And this instantly brings to mind an image of someone who's isolated themselves inside of their apartment, and they're just watching nothing but cable news over and over again.
And yelling at it.
Yeah, and yelling at it, just glutting themselves on conflict and engaging with the conflict and really feeling a lot of stress. There's a 2007 study from the University of Illinois at Chicago College of Medicine, and they reported that the anxiety and aggression that result from social isolation trace to altered levels of an enzyme that controls the production of a brain hormone. The two enzymes in this case are needed for the production of allopregnanolone, a brain hormone that acts to reduce stress through regulation of GABA. An important neurotransmitter. So the suggestion here is that increased levels of isolation, it's going to impact your ability to roll with stress and regulate your own stress on a neurological scale.
Right. And one of the ways that you might deal with stress is to communicate with others, right? To unburden yourself. And again, he does not have that luxury.
Well, he has Max.
He has Max, but Max seems, and rightly so, a bit reserved.
Yes. Yeah. Max does not speak, despite being a cartoon storybook dog.
Mm-hmm.
He merely just rolls with the punches.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about the dysfunctional families. This would be the lost child, right?
Yeah.
One that recedes to the shadows because he's like, forget it. I don't want to raise the hackles of the Grinch. But, you know, I think the stage is pretty well set here that you have this creature who is tormented, auditorily tormented, psychologically tormented. And as a result, perhaps having a mental breakdown. Now, in the BBC documentary alone, the brain sensory deprivation and isolation, 6 people were deprived of sensory input. They were essentially put in solitary confinement for about 48 hours. And one of the findings is that at around hour 30, people began to pace back and forth. And a lot of people who were looking at the footage said this is a lot like animals in captivity. And perhaps one of the reasons why they're doing this is that they're trying to create some sort of sensory input for their brains. Because we've talked about this before. This is one of the reasons why you can't be isolated for a long time. Your brain needs something to gnaw on. It needs a bone. And a lot of time, other people are those bones. And again, if you have someone who has sequestered themselves and your brain isn't getting the sort of input that it would normally get, the unconscious has very little information to play with and to mold into a story. And that story of I, you know, we've talked about this, the me, the who I am. And that's when you begin to see some aspects of mental breakdown sometimes, because there isn't that cohesive sense of self that's bolstered by others or even mirrored by other people around you.
All right. So the Grinch, this miserable creature, driven half mad by the merriment of the Whos, finally breaks, finally snaps, dresses up like Santa Claus, descends down on Christmas night while the Whos are asleep in their beds, steals just about everything, even raids the refrigerator, packs it all up on the sleigh, takes it up, and he's about to dump it, right? He's about to just throw it into the abyss and wish him a Merry Christmas.
But he's waiting. Remember,
yes.
he's waiting on that ledge. He's waiting for them to wake up and realize that all of their little goodies have been stolen from them.
Right. That's the ultimate reward. More so than just the material theft involved here. He wants to break them, to break Who culture itself and just send them into despair.
The problem is, of course, is that when he's got his hand up to his ear and he's listening really hard, he doesn't hear sobbing. He doesn't hear this terrible retching noises of broken Whos.
Mm-hmm.
He hears this unified chorus, this beautiful lilting song that comes up to him and makes him realize that all of his expectations have been violated. And this is what allows him at this very moment to go in one of two ways.
Mm-hmm.
Either he can have this sort of cognitive dissonance, right, in which his violations or his expectations are violated and he doesn't know what to do with that. And so he doubles down on a sort of cognitive bias and tries to explain it away and say, oh, no, they're still materialist.
Mm-hmm.
They're still terrible. Or he can accept that there's cognitive dissonance and he can accept that there's an alternate take to the Whos. And to Christmas, that is not just about materialism, but perhaps something more.
Hmm. And that makes all the difference. He has this change of heart. He brings everything back to them. He celebrates with them. He's brought into Who culture. He's no longer an outsider, or at least for this one night, he's not an outsider. And he joins in the feast. He cuts the roast beast, for crying out loud.
He does. And again, this sort of sea change is all predicated on his epiphany moment that it's connections with people that matter. And that's what the Whos were celebrating when it came to Christmas, not necessarily their stuff. But these guys, the Whos, do not get out of this unscathed.
Right. It's easy to look at the story and say, oh, well, the Whos are such a noble people that even though all their presents and their food was gone, they still went out there and were happy because they're ultimately happy and good at heart. But We would argue that they felt this. They made this. This was a realization for the Whos. Because the Grinch stole all their stuff, because the Grinch took away all their material possessions, mm-hmm. of which they had way too many to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. According to Chad Orzel in his article on Science Blog's How Strong Was the Grinch, each of the 33 Whos in Whoville were getting about 3,030 kilograms or about 6,000 pounds of stuff on Christmas. And Orzel based his calculations on pixels and what they might represent in terms of real-world dimensions and mass, including that sleigh. So that would lead us to believe that maybe those Whos were just empty husks trying to stuff themselves with things before the Grinch came along and delivered an epiphany to them.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it you know, clearly they're way overdoing it. They're indulging in just rampant materialism. And then the Grinch comes, takes it away, and gives them the space to realize what's important most. So, in this, I would argue that the Grinch plays a crucial role in the Whos, if not for that Christmas, mm-hmm. but perhaps every Christmas. Perhaps the Grinch comes every Christmas to the Whos and is part of their winter festival.
Okay.
You know, the great green god on the mountain that comes down and takes away your material possessions so that you may see what's most important.
So this is like the passion play for the Whos?
Yeah, like maybe, yeah, and I think so. If the Grinch doesn't come, then you end up just drowning in your own materialism and you're freezing through the winter.
And the Grinch himself might say, yes, I will participate in these festivities and pretend to be terrible and awful and I can recreate that epiphany, that moment.
Or you take a creature and you replace its heart and you stick it into a specially designed cave on the top of the mountain so that it will play a role in your necessary festival year after year after year.
Wow, maybe the Grinch isn't even real. Like, maybe that's a Grinch costume that one of the Whos has Ooh. To wear as sort of like the sacrificial Grinch for the year.
Yeah, it's just kind of this supernatural entity that everyone believes in, and you sort of you partake in the passion play of the thing.
That is somehow more believable than positing that the Whos heart grew two sizes that day when he had the epiphany simply because some sort of genetic switch went off between the Whos and the Whats.
Yeah, I have no explanation for why his heart would literally grow two sizes and allow, better absorption of oxygen, but.
That just reminded me, too. Now he's more of a Who and then a What, which is sort of that whole underlying basis of what we were talking about earlier. Like, how terrible to be a What instead of a Who, and he made his way back to his Who-ness by connecting with his fellow species.
Now, that's some rich stuff there.
Yeah, it
is. That's Seuss. He really knew what he was doing.
An intuitive psychologist.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Alrighty, guys. We hope that you enjoyed our presentation of The Grinch as well as Scrooge. And if you want to check out more of what we're doing, you can do so at stufftoblowyourmind.com.
That's right. You'll find all the podcast episodes, including various holiday episodes we've done over the years, right there. You'll find blog posts, videos, and some of those are holiday-oriented. We'll try and promote those on the front page there for you to check out. And also, you'll find links out to the various social media accounts we use in case you want to follow us on Facebook or Twitter or Tumblr or what have you.
And if you have any sauerkraut sandwiches with a side of arsenic sauce thoughts that you want to send to us, you can do so by emailing us at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.